That's all right. Readjust the bug antennas.
There you go.
They make me smile every time I see them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Makes me kind of giggle. Oh, man. Oh, man. Let me see. Oh, just where to put things. More space you give me, the more space you seem to need. Amen. Oh. Well, if those of you who haven't read your emails this week, our dear brother Ivan went home to be with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. He passed away on Friday afternoon, just before noon. Yeah. And, you know, myself and Brian got to go see him last Tuesday. He was way more peaceful. They had the gospel music playing beside him, and we sat with him and sang over him. And, you know, when the music got a little peppier, his head started moving a little bit. And he was receiving from the Lord. But you know what? I just keep it that song, "When My Faith Becomes Sight." You know, it was well with his soul because he is before our King. And as hard as it is to let our brother go, it's also a blessing. And so we rejoice because we have this hope.
That's right.
This is not the end. We have that hope in Jesus.
And his own praise
becomes well. That's right. Yeah. Let go and let God. We're on the up and up. So, okay, who hid the Kleenex? Who hid the Kleenex? Just do this. Sorry, Rebecca. I know I walk out of the camera. We need to have one that just hangs on the bottom of this so we can just have it here. But we're rejoicing in what our God has done, is doing. This past 2 years has been crazy, new, different for us all. And like Ralph says, hanging in the Lord, where are you leading us? What's happening? And sometimes we don't have that clear right now exactly what it is. But we do have a vision given of God for this church, for our church family. And so this is a really good time for us to be looking at that, digging in. And so I'm going to just try and do as quick as I can a quick review here. So we've been looking at this vision, and this is part two. The review part here is why a vision, and the word itself says, where there is no revelation, that word revelation is also vision, prophetic word. People cast off restraints, but blessed is the one who heeds the wisdom, who heeds wisdom's instruction. From the message, it says, if people can't see what God's doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And so that's where we're taking this from, that God has given us a vision. And when we are together in unity, in community in that vision, we are most blessed. We looked from, I think it's Psalms 133, about the how blessed it is for brothers and sisters to live together in unity. That is where the oil pours forth. The anointing comes down from the top of Aaron's garment to the bottom. That's where the blessing lies. God blesses our unity. And so we want to be united in thought and vision and where the Lord is leading us. So what is a vision statement? It's a clear, challenging. Now let me put that there. Challenging sometimes. Hope-filled, God-given picture from the heart of the future of our church ministry as we believe it can and must be. It's a vision God has given us, and we see that vision. We understand what he's, you know, where he's leading us, and we're going to talk a little more about that in a minute. And again, sometimes it's going to be challenging, but it's always hope-filled because that's who our God is. All right, moving on. Again, we're just in a quick review. What is the purpose of a vision? Oh, well, let me give you this. So why am I asking you? So that we can see the vision. This is my hope, that you can see the vision, that you can get excited about the vision, that you can follow that vision, look at that vision, and respond by, I got it. I got it. We know. where we're going. Again, the purpose of a vision is quite simple, an answer to these two questions. What does God want to accomplish through us as Camrose Community Church? This doesn't change with circumstances, culture, political climate, et cetera, et cetera. What we're called to, if I could put it this way, we know the Lord has called us to reach the lost, right? It's never going to change. Second part of it is, what will our ministry look like to accomplish this? Guess what, folks? That's going to change. That's going to change. Just because we've always done kids club and always done youth group and always done food bank and always done certain things a certain way doesn't mean we're going to do it that way as we move forward. Doesn't mean we're going to minister to children and to the people who attend food bank or to teens or whatever. It does, but it may look different. And we need to let go and let God. Ivan this morning. We need to let go sometimes of the old way of thinking and the old way of doing and what we've how we've always done it to hear what God is saying. This is how I want you to move forward. And so that is something that we as leadership seek the Lord on. You know, pray about what's going in your hearts and that. And it's moving forward. Again, challenging, hope-filled. So next. Again, I'm trying to move as fast as I can here because I don't want to spend all the time. What is our vision statement? Well, here it is. It is the vision of this church to be a welcoming, worshiping community, experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that they can be. You know what, Don? I forgot to put the quotes on this one. I had it on another slide. So there should be a quote starting at the welcoming thing. And I'm going to say just a little bit about that. Don has a gift for grammar. I do not. That's a perfect thing to have in the body when you have some that don't and some that do that can help. That's a blessing. And I never get offended by somebody who said, you spelt that wrong or you didn't put that right. Please, let the gift come forward because that's not my gifting. So bless you. So again, here is our vision. And what we looked at last week was the word welcoming, or not last week, last time I spoke, is the word welcoming, and we got into that. We also took a look at our motto for the church. It says, Camrose Community Church, a place for people just like you. Our very motto speaks of that welcoming. It is for every, we're all welcome here. You're all welcome here, and I want you to know that. You are welcome here, and we love you, So I'm going to wrap up with this, is to sum up our vision of welcome, is we want people to know and experience that you are welcome here, you are loved, you are valued and accepted, and of great worth. That is part of that vision, that everyone who comes in here has that sense. Well, now that I preached last time's message, let's move forward. And so the next word in that is worshiping community, but I'm going to do something. We're not going to go there this morning because as I was looking at that, I realized we really do need to jump beyond that and talk about the enabling grace of God before we do that. Because, and again, we're going to go back to that and look at the worshiping community the next time I speak, but it's important for us to understand this experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that God desires them to be. So let us take a look at, it's going to highlight all of those one by one, I think, maybe. Yeah, sorry. There we go. But let's move to the next slide. I was laughing at Rebecca because I had my slides all put together and I had a little more editing I wanted to do and whatever, and I took it home but I saved that file to the share file here, so when I got home I didn't have it. And it was just like, oh shoot, so I had to start all over again, and I didn't realize that slide was not edited quite the way it had been in the other one. This is from Ephesians. Oops, sorry, I got ahead of myself here. Maybe, there we go. From Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now we're going to actually look at that whole paragraph together in a few minutes, but So we understand that we have been saved by grace. This morning we participated in communion, that new covenant, saved by grace, by his doing, by the will of God, and his purpose is nothing that we've done. You can't do enough, say enough, behave enough, be good enough, do enough good, give enough away, all of that stuff to be saved by your own strength. It just isn't going to happen. It is a free gift of God. How many can say hallelujah to that this morning? Amen. It is a free gift of God. And it's not by works, and you can't boast. If I boast in anything, Paul says, I boast in the Lord. And boy, we were boasting in him this morning with worship. You know, those are the old, those old hymns. But man, is there truth in them? Hey, just a boasting in the Lord. So we're going to, what is this word grace? So I'm going to put up this giant thing I copied out of the Concordance Strong. We're just going to put it all up there. I'm not going to go line by line for it. Here's all the stuff. Right? It's the word charis. Oh, see, slide didn't get that one. The word charis. And it has a root in something very interesting when I was doing a study. It has its roots in the word joy and joyful. God's grace has its roots in joy. It's his pleasure. It brings him joy. But doesn't it bring you joy? The grace of God? Amen. So again, I'll let you read all of those things, and you can look them up. And you, if you got a computer and you don't have a concordance, you can get it online for free. So many people, though, will take all of this and they'll describe. They just say God's grace is unmerited favor. Well, that's pretty limited in what it's that statement. That's how it comes to us. You don't get to, you didn't earn it. It's unmerited, and it's his favor. Well, what does that favor give you? Well, if you look at the part two there, it talks about all the things it does. Again, a little homework for you. Go look it up. I'm not going to do it all for you. But we're going to take it and condense it down into a statement here, a sentence. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of kidnapped it from something Jim Richards had, but this is kind of my own version of it, or just how I worded it as best I remember. It is the power of God that works through the heart of a believer by faith. It cannot be earned, but is given, it says, by favor or freely. And again, we read that in Ephesians there. It's something that is given us. It's God's power, his ability, working in you. And sometimes we think that it's working out there, but he's working within you. We're going to go to Ephesians 2:10, and if you have your Bibles, because I did not write it all up for you here, it was just too much, too big, but I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 2:1-10. For if you were dead, or for you were dead in your transgressions and sins. How many can say, yep, I was? Yeah, no denying that. In which you used to live. Don't you love that word, used to? Past tense. When you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And we can see that in our world around us as it just seems to grow and grow and grow, right? That type of thing. But we were part of that at one time. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, I like big buts. But, because of his great love for us. I want you to say that. Because of God's great love personalized it for me. Ralph said this morning, God's great love for me. Sit on that for a while. Some good chew. Sit there. Lost my place. sorry. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, say, my Father is rich, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Okay, let's think about this a minute. even when we were dead in our transgressions. So if when we receive Jesus, we become alive, what does that say about all those people out there who don't know or being disobedient? What is God doing out there? Can we believe that the Spirit is moving on the earth, even though we see the kingdom of darkness moving? How many of you are praying for your prodigals or those who've never come to the Lord or whatever? Don't lose heart. Spirit's moving. We were made alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And there's a comma there, so we're going to go on. So let's stop and think about, what are the benefits we've received? What is the favor we received from God? Not only have we been saved from the darkness, now we're moved to the kingdom, but we're not just moved to the kingdom. We're moved and seated in Christ in heavenly places. How many of you know you're better off than you were before? Well, the question is, do you know? And we sometimes have to let our meditate on that, or some people put that in your pipe and smoke on it. We want to know. It's the word of God. It's a step of faith. The grace of God, the ability of God, the Holy Spirit in me. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching. You know what? Jesus didn't just die so that we could go to heaven. I love this statement. I'm quoting somebody, and I don't remember who he is. But he died to put heaven in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm in Christ, and he's in me. Oh, my. We have grace. We have favor. Oh, it was the good things that we have of the Lord, and we don't take time to even notice them. It is by grace you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in this coming age, hello, we're in an age, I'll tell you, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. I want you to personalize it. I am God's handiwork. I'm God's. Oh, wow, you guys are really weak this morning. Hello. Are you or are you not? That's something to think of. It's not your handiwork. It's God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This isn't talking about works by salvation or salvation by works. This is talking about something totally new and different, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, talking about the enabling power of God's grace to become all God desires us to be, to do the things that he's prepared for us. And it isn't about doing to get him to do something. It's about flowing out of our hearts, a love for God, and a rejoicing in God. I'm sorry this morning. I was just rocked by our worship this morning. And you know what? Sometimes we think, whoops, it has to be all the new stuff that's coming. Well, Keitha, thank you so much. It just fell right in line with my heart. And I just, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, wasn't it good? Or is it just me? It was good. It was good. Because we have a good God who's taking us to great places, has done great things in us. And it's for us to get a hold of the vision of what he's not only doing in us, but what he's doing in you. Maybe I did put it up there. There's Romans. I put a scripture up there so you don't have to look it up. For sin shall no longer be your master. Hello? Yahoo! Sin will no longer be my master. How many of you have had a little, I'm going to call it an oops this week or something that you know was sinful and you just got, anybody? Just me? And it's just like, and then you sit there and you kind of, you know, oh, I'm such a, wow, I should know, yeah, I should know better, whatever, but here it is. I'm not going to let it master me. It's not going to master me. I took communion this morning because I'm under a new covenant. I'm not under the law anymore. I'm under Christ Jesus and the blood of the Lamb who's washed me clean. My sin as far as from the east and the west, I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Because you are not under the law, but you're under grace. That's something we sometimes need to just remind ourselves. All right. Well, I might be getting preaching here. I don't know. Anyhow, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew, chapter 19. And we're going to take a look at two stories in the gospel here quite quickly. And that just helps us understand the enabling power of God's grace and versus the law. So starting in verse 16, and you guys all know this one. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of preamble because I noticed something here. So Jesus has just been hanging out with the people and the children, and he says this little thing, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these," and he blesses them, and it says, so that's what's happening. Just then, so he's just praying and blessing these little kids and whatever. He says, just then a man comes up to him and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to enter eternal life?" So what is his question? What must I do? Teacher, what good thing? He doesn't just say what anything. What good thing? What good thing must I do? Let's get into good works. And Jesus says, first of all, he says, "Why do you ask me what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. And if you want to enter, life, keep the commandments." Which ones? Oh, hey, let's go cherry picking. Let's pick the ones we like and not the ones. Which ones? Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You should not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself." Anybody realize that list is a little short? It's short, the first four, about loving God, right? And no idols, etc., keeping the Sabbath. But listen what this young man says. He says, "All of these I have kept," the young man said. "But what do I still lack? And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Let me get this picture up here. It says this: "When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." And Jesus goes on to talk about that a minute with the people around, about how hard it is, and talks about the camel going through the eye of the needle. That. But the point is that this man was still trying to do things in his own strength. And he had not kept all the law because he had an idol. He had an idol, something that was holding him back. Now, we never know if that young man went away and got a hold of, you know, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he eventually, you know, it didn't say it was impossible. It just said it's only possible with God. So let's move on to our next story. We're going to move over to the book of Luke. And here's a famous story, the story of Zacchaeus. Rebecca, I'm going to blow my nose, so you may want to shut my mic off, and I will. And I don't have to snuff away. So here we have the story of Zacchaeus, who was rich. He was a cheat, but he got to experience the grace of God. We're going to read. It's starting in, I guess I have to go to Luke. 19, starting in verse 1. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short," sorry, short folks, but this is a story for you, "he could not see over the crowd." Been there? Not me, but some of you. "So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him," you knew who he was, "Zacchaeus, come on down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And guess what the people said? And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He, being Jesus, has gone off to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus, I love this. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord." And now in my version, "look" is capitalized and "Lord" is capitalized with an exclamation mark. Something's happened to Zacchaeus here. It says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Grace came to Zacchaeus. What did Jesus do? Did he quote the law? Was Zacchaeus looking for the law? Absolutely not. He just wanted to see who Jesus was. And Jesus, knowing his name, called him down and said, "Immediately, I want to come on down. I want to go have..." In front of everybody, Jesus declares, "I'm welcome in your house, Zacchaeus, if you'll take me. You're welcome in my house, Zacchaeus. You're welcome in my presence. You have value and worth to me." And Zacchaeus, takes him home and says, "Look, Lord." He's so blessed. The love of the Lord, the acceptance of the Lord, the grace of God, nothing Zacchaeus did, was what Jesus did, changed this man's heart. And when it came to his money, did Jesus have to tell him, "You need to give it to the poor"? It was a change of his own heart. He was being transformed by the enabling power of God within his life. "I'm going to give half to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody," and he was a cheat, people knew it, "I'm going to give back four times." Man, if you were one of those persons he had extorted from, and you get four times back, you're receiving the blessing that he's received. Right? Four times he's given to the poor, his heart has changed, he's transformed by the goodness of Jesus, by the grace of God, by the favor of our Lord. And this is what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," capital S, "came to seek and save the lost." Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey, I get a little spirit going in the church here. Amen. What Jesus did for Zacchaeus was amazing. And he's done it for us too. Whoops. Hey, it's a heavy word. Heavy word. And he's done it for us too. God's loving grace changes everything. And we begin to experience transformation from the inside out. And I'm not going to just say change. I'm going to say transformation. We become something we were not. Well, that we become something God intended on all along. So when we go back to our vision and we say, the enabling power of God's grace to help people become all that God desires them to be, we see that. And that moment was Zacchaeus and Jesus. And so did all the other people. And the benefits. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this. The enabling power of God's grace in you has changed you. Sometimes we can't see it for ourselves. But I want you to know, you're bringing benefit. You're bringing benefit to the people around you. Four times. Something's happening. Be transformed, letting him transform us by his grace. God's grace changes everything. In Galatians, and I don't think I have Galatians up here, but I'll read it to you. It's Galatians 2:20-21. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Well, we know what Christ died for. He died for us. We are becoming, we are manifesting all God desires you and me to be. through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He put heaven in us, and we can bring kingdom of God to the world around us. We're being transformed, understanding that God just isn't helping us make it through life. He's in you and me, shining through us, walking with us as we walk our journey. Let me, oh, there's Happy Zacchaeus. back to our vision. So again, we're going to look at another time. We're going to talk about experiencing and sharing the enabling power of God. That's going to be a few weeks down the road yet. But we're going to come back and look at worshiping, because I want to speak to, we're going to look at the idea that just like Zacchaeus, worshiping comes out of our transformation. All right, but I'm not going to preach that message now. Why don't you stand with me? Oh, Lord, we are a blessed people, and we stand in the goodness of your grace. Holy Spirit, you're dwelling us, enabling us, oh, with the wonderful grace of God to be all that you desired and designed us to be. We just thank you for that. Lord, I pray a blessing over every person here and whoever's here online or hearing it later on this week. Bless their socks off, Lord. May they experience your love like Zacchaeus did, where they just have overwhelming love well up in their hearts. Rivers of living water flowing through them, coming, the wellspring of life springing up through them. Lord, again, that not only will they be blessed, but those around them will be blessed four times over. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your enabling grace in us. And I just bless every endeavor that anybody has this week. We pray for success. Yes. And again, Father, we thank you for the plans and the purposes that you have here in Community Church, that you will be faithful to them. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, we are going to have Crystal. If you haven't stayed to listen to Crystal's share, you need to stay. She's been teaching some good stuff, and it's a blessing. I'm not going to make you stay, but I hope the Holy Spirit moves in your heart. Bless you.